conversation, never on the block.
Leave me by the bar.
Bars open.
Bars open.
Bars open.
Welcome to Open Boy Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. I'm your boy C4.
And I'm your very favorite bartender, Champagne.
Champagne in the building.
And I'm Young Holla, the illest poor little life.
That part. We pulled Holla out the motherfucking dugouts. Mm-hmm. Nigga, come on this motherfucker, bro. Mm-hmm. Come holla at us real quick.
For sure.
Tell the people what you do, because that's what we gonna start at. Just to jump into the conversation.
What I do, I inspire, try to innovate. I write, I perform, I teach, I learn, I act.
Act.
I'm a father.
Father.
I'm somebody's best friend somewhere. I'm a good son and a good brother to have, yeah. Man, okay. What else could I put up in there?
I mean, shit, you do everything in there but the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
What else you want in there? Your socks?
I try to uplift the community too. Yeah.
From what I know from you, I see a lot of your skits and your plays.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I like caught on to you.
Okay.
So, and that's what your company is right now, right?
Yes. Tough Crowd Entertainment. Well, basically, it's entertainment. So we have people that sing, people that dance, people that rap, people that act. That's basic entertainment, you know,
mm-hmm,
what I'm saying,
yeah.
Of what we do. I started it, it's about to be 13 years at Southwest College.
13,
bro. We still got one active original member. Shout out to my boy Lily. When I started it, he's still with me.
Mm-hmm.
He was acting at first, then he started making the props. Our last plays we've been having ain't really been needing that much props. So, but he's about to be a dad, so that's a blessing. But yeah, I started it at Southwest College, man. I was doing the wrong things, you know, that I shouldn't be doing. So my folks was like, man, you need to do something with your life. So I was like, I was 31. I'm 43. So I was like, well, maybe. They was like, you should go to community college, nigga. And I'm like, what?
Community college,
man. You know what I'm saying?
Where is that?
Southwest is a community college. So I
I didn't know anything about a community college at one point.
So I went to Southwest, and I used to see how the homies that was in school, when it come around finals time, them niggas be pressed. They going crazy. I'm like, well, I don't want to take no classes like that. I want to take some smooth, easy shit. And get this, because they were saying I need to go there for the
GEs?
No, the bread. The
financial aid.
The financial aid.
Oh, they wanted you to start chasing a check.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me
tell you the crazy
check.
Part. Damn. My shit never went through.
Mine either. My soul. That's why I knew community college was for me.
I never got
to this. Because I said, where is this money like, I'm talking about?
But I'm not mad at it.
I learned the scam.
That's what ended up happening. I'm not mad at it. Because, so I end up taking, I'm like, well, I'm going to take some easy shit because I used to rap before that. Mm-hmm. So, and I wasn't bad.
What was
you know
rapping?
What I'm saying? Holla.
Oh, your name
before Holla, though, when because I learned how to rap on the party line. For people, I'm 43, so if you need
yeah,
to know what the party line
party
is.
Line.
On the party line.
You don't know. No, you
yeah,
don't.
It was basically Instagram without the video because you got
without
see
pictures.
Nobody. Yeah.
It was actually like Clubhouse.
The number?
Like,
yeah, y'all remember?
It's Clubhouse.
Yeah, it was Clubhouse.
It's literally Clubhouse.
Any of y'all remember the number?
No.
No. We remember because we know you know it.
No, you know it.
It was 323-315-7771.
You know that all the party lines still exist, right?
The old party
most
line?
Of the party lines.
No, I be dialing that number. It ain't 10 White Mason, come on, this is the Hollywoods. But anyway, I'm saying that's really important in my life because that's how I learned how to rap.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then from rapping.
Oh, you had one of them cool ass intros?
No,
hey, I was. Yo, it's Holla.
Nah.
I got the dollars.
My shit was.
That so you was on there with Spitfire?
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we talked about.
You know Spitfire?
What? He was on the show. We had Spitfire on the show.
That is crazy. Okay,
yeah,
so look. So, he know, he. my name on the party line was JB. It was for Johnny Blaze, like Method Man. You remember
okay,
they had Johnny
yeah,
Blaze clothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
When I first got on there, my homie, his name was Lamar. He used to get on there and like be gang banging in there. Yeah, good fuck you, kid.
Yeah, I remember them.
And I'd be
too.
Like, why we keep doing this? So one day I was like,
what are we doing here?
Yeah, I'm like, is it more on here? And I started like going through the rooms. And it was this nigga in the room. His name was Joker. He live in Hawaii now. He be in there just listening to beats, rapping. I'd be like, this nigga hard. But I'd be like, nigga, you ain't got no life. You in here all day. But I was on there all day too. So I had no life neither. But his was a little different. It's like, nigga, you literally in this room. So I start talking to him. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, you sound pretty cool, freestyler. He was. I was like, man, you think I could rap? He like, nigga, if you really want to rap, this is what you need to do. So on the party line, it was a page called the Freestyle and Poetry Board. So what it is it's 20 messages. Mm-hmm. So if on the 20 messages, when you go and leave a new message, it knock a message off. Mm-hmm. So he was like, if you want to learn how to rap, go diss these three niggas. Leave a message. Leave messages on these three niggas. And I guarantee you, in 10 to 15 minutes, if they not busy, you going to hear them. You know,
they gonna get back at you.
So my name was Johnny Blaze, right? So I remember I wrote like some little Fisher Price ass rap, but I dissed all three of the niggas in one. So it was Breaks, FOS, and Breaks, FOS, and One Time. So I said, I don't know what it was, some corny ass rap. I said it in one, dissed all three of them niggas. I promise you, in like 5 minutes. Who the fuck is a Johnny Blaze? Nigga, you weak. They freestyling. They going in. Leaving
back at
so now y'all having like a...
But I don't know how to freestyle. So I had to write my shit. These niggas freestyle. They kicking shit. They killing me off. And I'm taking 10, 15 minutes. Them niggas... Every time I lay my shit, them niggas back 15 messages. I'm like, oh, these niggas killing me. Man. Like, so I went to him and he was like, nigga, I told you. I became obsessed. Because I was already obsessed with the party line. I was obsessed with the party line, the fact that you could hear somebody, like hear a girl, and don't know how she looks, so you building your own image of her. You know what I'm saying?
Remember when the girls used to have a high-pitched voice, and they used to try to make themselves talk? But you were getting
laid
down.
Oh, God.
90%.
That was the beginning of the
country. I was on the party line for like 5 years straight. Out of the 5 years, I met three that was cool, that looked like, oh, yeah, you a little... And I've met hundreds. I'm not even lying to you. I'm right-handed guy. I'm not even lying
that's
to you.
That's my smoky.
No,
man.
I got like guys that I still know to this day. One I met from Let Go. You remember Let Go?
What is Let
Go? I don't remember Let Go was like one of the first...
You let his ass go?
...social media apps. No, it was like, not Let Go. It was called Let's Go.
I don't remember that nigga. MySpace Black Planet.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's Go used to be for club flyers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't remember.
So
that.
like that's where you were like that's allegedly used to be the like directory to figure out where everything was gonna be popping in LA.
Did you holler at somebody over that?
What?
Your ass is crazy.
No,
you
I
leave a
nigga.
Comment on somebody's flyer. Right. So a nigga left a comment on the flyer and we started having a whole conversation under
and
this flyer for like 6 months.
The worst shit I ever did. The worst shit I did on the party line, this girl stayed in the IE, bro. I never seen
you took that trip.
We talked for days, and how she had described how
love,
she looked.
Huh?
I wasn't. No, not once. I've never
you
been in love. But I'm saying like, yeah.
You was kind of infatuated.
Bro, when I pulled up on her, bro.
Freddie Jackson.
Nigga.
This goes back to y'all little powwow y'all was having earlier about how looks.
So,
yeah, you look
no,
the same.
Yeah.
Man,
because
you.
I built my own. My imagination. My imagination is crazy. So you can only imagine how she sound. And she told me most of the girls on the party line.
Most of the girls on the party line said she was
brown skin. That's what they mean.
Mixed with queen,
that was
super
shit.
Booty.
I'm brown skin, brown eyes thick. That was like 90% of the women are and it was light skin with green eyes thick. It was either or, no in between. So every time I talk to a girl, this is what they telling me. Man, bro. Anyway, all right. Party line. Back to the party line. I dissed them
you
niggas,
was
right?
Real passionate about that boy.
Asked the homie, like, he like I told you. So I became obsessed with these niggas rapping. They freestyling. But I became so obsessed that I started writing that I actually became good.
Mm-hmm.
It would just take me a longer time to get the bars out because they were...
Right, they was already attacking your ass.
Freestyle,
he was trying to figure it out.
Nigga, they was freestyle kings. And
I bet you started learning how to freestyle, though. Like,
I lost the art of that, but I really did. When I first started rapping, when I loved it more so than what I do now, is when I really loved it. I learned. I became a student of the game. And then became... like my real friends in real life. We end up like starting.
Joker
live
in Hawaii.
He live in Hawaii now. But we end up starting meeting each other and it became like a little community. But on the party line, I built this thing. My crew was called WMI. It was World's Most Infamous from Jay-Z. He used to do he used to call be like world's most infamous. So we was WMI and the homie he break his crew was called the O and we'll battle every Friday. You know what I'm saying? So people used to be like, nigga, why you on the party? You don't look like you should be on the
Conjuring party. Conjuring community.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, because I changed like what it was. Yeah, so I really learned literally how to rap on a party line. Then I got with this crew that was called Gang Green. I don't know if you remember Gang Green on the streets. Okay, well, I used to be with this crew called Gang Green. You know, them niggas was doing what they, you feel me? And I was their artist. So that's how I got, like, that's how people start knowing me on the street. Then when that didn't work out, I ended up going to jail for identity theft. When the bread was gone, I ended up going to jail for identity theft. So when I got out of jail, when I fought the case for a year, I was in jail for 2 weeks. I bailed out. I just needed to see what was going on. Then I fought it for a year. So I ended up beating the case with the money I did the identity theft with. Craziest shit in the world.
You know how many times people tell warfare stories, and you be like, nigga, you ain't even bail yourself out when you motherfucker be fucked up. So it's like, at least you did the right thing. You karma happened right away. And yes, you cleared it did. The karma right away. Like, you know what? That's how it was when the first time I went to jail.
And that's why they was like, go to school.
I went to jail for greed.
Yeah, I went to school for that. Like, right when I got out, it was like, well, nigga, you need to do something.
Right.
Being that I knew how to rap really good, you know, if you're a good rapper, then you got to have emotion. So, acting is kind of emotion. So I'm like, all right, well, I know I could probably act. Shit, a nigga could do that. I love film. Then it was like, I write raps. A story, a play might just be a long ass rap. So I did that. And beginning acting, I'm like, oh, well, shit, I love movies and, you know, I'm a character. All three of them, right? And them shits that's not
And that hard. Was early on.
Yeah. And my teacher, because Southwest ain't had no bread, he taught all three. So I was with this nigga Monday through Thursday from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday every day.
That was probably the best experience.
And my writing, he fell in love with my writing. So they had this competition called NASA where L.A. was the only Western school that represented. It was in the South. It was in the South with the HBCUs. With the HBCs, I'm sorry. And I would go down there. He'd take a team of 11. Or the most he could take is 12. He'll take us down there, and we'll do 50-minute plays, dual scenes. It's this thing called Reader's Theater.
Like battling.
Interpretation of poetry. And I did interpretation of poetry because my raps was good. So, naturally, you know, poetry is kind of like rapping.
Right.
So, he'll take me down there, and them niggas down there was so poised. They were so good. They all was like quadruple threats, but poetry. They couldn't fuck with me. So I went down there the first year and caused some ruckus. And we was from the West, you know, handed niggas their ass. Like, on the first, I kind of got into Jackson State.
Why people be so mad when the West really do it?
Because
it was only so one school out here that was represented.
And it was a two-year, Southwest only a two-year college. Then it was like big universities. And that's when I used to really like, I was West, like all I wore was khaki shoes, big-ass tees. I had the braids. So then I'm like, oh, that nigga really from the West. We really got, and then we got into it, low-key, right when I got there, we got into it because, I don't know if y'all know, and this is no disrespect. This ain't no disrespect to nobody, right? Everybody got their walks with God. This is no disrespect. I have to say this. But I don't know if y'all know, a lot of men theater, it's not, what's politically correct to say?
Say it.
Well, describe it.
Use a vowel. Use it in a sentence.
Use a verb.
A lot of black males in theater are...
That was raised by their mother?
Is it the R. Kelly song?
Yeah.
Got it.
Soft.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. It was raised by their mother.
Yes.
Adverb we're looking for today, guys, is soft.
No, not soft. I wouldn't use that.
Not soft. I said no disrespect.
S-O-M-T.
But some people that are raised in a more soft environment are I more didn't, soft.
Let me clear that up. She said that. I didn't say that. I'm just giving what it was. Down south, black theater.
Was
most of the men, right. A lot were, you know what I'm saying?
They were raised by their mother.
Yes. So when I got there, only me and my homie out of the 11, we real niggas. And we from the West. But one of the people on our team was
raised by his mother.
Yes. But he's still my nigga.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
nigga, we on the team.
Yeah, I was raised by my mother and my
dad. So we get there, right? We get there, and the first night is supposed to be a mixer. At the mixer, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do when they call you up. It was like a low-key talent show.
Oh, okay.
Right,
yeah.
Right?
It's a battle.
Yeah. So my teacher was like, you should do a poem. So I had a poem that I wrote. It was called Can I Kick It? You know how
you would,
like, can I kick it? Yes,
you
I can.
You would do a Can I Kick It in a Dickie
show. Yes, I was. No, I would.
Can I kick it?
When I was supposed to go up, on the sheet of 27 people, I was like number 7, right? So me and the homie, he West, he real West too. We in the back, nigga.
Why am I picturing this?
You? I hope you care.
A big ass Dickie suit.
I hope you see that. I had a Dickie suit on there. I had like some jeans and a big tee with the chucks, right? Had the brace in the back with a hat on. We in the back.
Yeah.
Right? And for the mixer, my homie who's on my team, who was raised by his mama,
okay.
He was doing a piece from the Color Museum, and the piece, the character was raised by their mama's called Miss Raj. And it was about a dude from the 70s who talk about disco. So my teacher wanted him to dress up in the platform. Yeah,
the
like
Afro.
You know what I'm saying?
Any disco. Character.
Yeah.
So we in the back, bro walk in. It's two niggas right here. They immediately get to talking about bro.
Of course.
But they raised by their mama too.
Oh.
So me and the homie press him. Man, we like, nigga, fuck you mean, nigga. That's the homie, nigga. Right, we're like, nigga, this is LA. We press them niggas, they get on, right? We like, niggas got us fucked up. Well, yeah. I go to the list, like 10 minutes later, nigga, I'm number 24 now.
Wait, what?
Why they bop, yes. Why they bop you down?
So look, I'm trying to tell you. So I'm looking, I'm like, oh, these niggas got me fucked up, right? So I go to somebody, I'm like, hey. Who running this list? I was number whoopty whoop. They got me down here. They like, all right, well, you need to go here. They like, you need to go to the director of Jackson State, right? So I go to the director of Jackson State because each year a school hosted.
Right.
That's down south. This year it was Jackson State.
Yeah.
Right. So that means the faculty of student body is ran by Jackson State, and then the director is. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go to him. I'm like, now I'm still West, nigga. I'm like, hey, these niggas got me fucked up. Like, they had me number 13. They dropped me down. He like, oh, okay, sir, calm down. He was raised by his mother.
Oh, my God. You were in a sick, stupid, bro.
I'm in the Twilight Zone, God. So I'm like, oh, nigga. This is real shit. So he said whatever, and I'm like, well, he was like, well, what school? I'm like, nigga, Jackson State. Now, mind you, ain't nobody, they told me who to go. I'm asking the name. They didn't say he was the director of Jackson State.
Right.
They told me, I said, yeah, they told me to come to you. And he said, what kids, what school? I'm like, these two niggas, Jackson State. I'm going there. I'm like, man, fuck them. He like, you know I'm the director of Jackson State, right? Because he was tall. I look up. I'm like, oh, shit. He was like, well, whatever they did it for a reason.
Oh.
And just pushed me off. I'm hot. I go to my teacher. I'm like, God, niggas got me fucked up. I can't perform. They put me, woo. He was like, Calm down. I'm like, they were talking about the homie. They was for the fuck them niggas up. Fuck Jackson State. Now I'm hot.
You on some LA shit.
Fuck that. Like, for real.
We didn't got back to LA.
You to LA, we don't care who were in the party.
So I did my homework. All I wanted to know was who won poetry last year. I seen him go up. He probably was like number 18. The nigga was nice. Oh, I ain't gonna hold you. Nigga did his thing. I'm like, oh, everybody know him. They clapping for him. You know, snap. I don't do snap poetry. No disrespect again. So, you know, bro went in. I give it to him. So, poetry is the third day. So, I told my teacher and the homies, I said, them niggas got me fucked up. When I do my piece, I'm going to find them niggas in the audience. And I'm going to give them, because it got to be 5 to 7 minutes. I'm going to give them niggas a minute apiece. I ain't gonna move. I'm gonna just stare the niggas down. So my teacher, like, you gonna get up there and fuck up. There. I'm like, I'm not gonna fuck up. I promise. Now, what got more crazy is, mind you, 90% raised by their mama.
Oh.
That means 10% that's not, and all the girls ready.
So, nigga, I'm from L.A. They like, oh, you from L.A.? They owe me. So I get with one of the homies. He went to Pine Bluff. You know what I'm saying? It was me, him, and my homie. We rushing shit.
Pine Bluff?
Yeah, Pine Bluff, the school. Oh, he went, yeah. It was called Pine Bluff. Yeah, it's Pine Bluff. So we...
I ain't never...
Yeah, it's called Pine Bluff. You look it up.
Where's that?
In Alabama, in North Carolina.
Wherever is that?
Yeah. So he was the driver. He was the driver for the props for their school. So me and him, so we hear it's a party in one of the rooms, right? Mm-hmm. We go to the room. Jackson State niggas in there.
Oh.
Two niggas. I'm like, man. Woo. Oh, she like... I mean, the homie like, man, chill out. You know them niggas. Man, don't worry about them, nigga. We on the hoes. He like, they everywhere, nigga, you know. So, the chick I end up meeting, go to Jackson State.
Of course.
We hit it off. Boom. We hit it off cool, whatever. So, around, now this the second day.
Yeah, you said it's 3 days.
Yeah, the second day. It's actually 4 to 5 days, but my poetry day with the third. So on the second day, they not fucking with LA, nigga. Like, and they already was telling other schools, like, he did this. He was talking. So niggas, so it's looking like, oh, I'm the bad guy. I was low key the bad guy.
It was like low key,
I'm the bad guy. But Shorty was like, I don't give a fuck. What y'all talking about? I'm fucking this nigga, like my little Shorty. So on the day of, nigga, on the second day, we did a play, a 50 minute play I acted. It wasn't that good. My acting wasn't that good either at the time. And then we did Reader's Theater, and my teacher wrote it, and he wrote boring shit. Okay. So when they seen me hit the stage, they like, oh, this nigga's trash.
Yeah.
He's about to be like everything.
Like, my acting was regular. Reader's Theater, trash. And so they already like, oh, we ain't got nothing to worry about. He's trash, and fuck that nigga,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they downplaying the shit out of you.
But niggas didn't know my strong suit was poetry.
Poetry.
And nigga, when I tell you, you don't go by your name. They put 13 poets. They fold a number up. They make you pull. So I wrote a poem, and it was called, damn, how I forget the name, Numb. It was called Numb. Mm-hmm. This is right around the time Barack Obama. I had a little Barack Obama shirt. And my teacher told me that I wasn't going to win because in interpretation of poetry, you could use anybody's poem. It's just your interpretation and how you put it out there.
Yeah, how you.
So people was winning with like.
People were saying other people's poems.
So they was winning with like original. August Wilson, Maya Angelou, yeah. Martin Luther King. That's the type. It's pro-black. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of shit was winning. So I told him, look, I'm going to do some street shit mixed with that black shit. He said, they going to hear you, but you're not going to place. I'm like, that's cool. Long as they know it was mine. It's my poem. I'm not doing nobody else shit.
Right.
He said, all right, I'm going to let you do you, holla. Bam. Nigga, I'm like, you can only take 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, 2 steps to the left, 2 steps to the right. You could say your introduction at any point in time from in your 5 to 7 minutes. You can't go under, you can't go over, you get subtracted from. You have to, at some point in time, at least look at each judge one time. That was the rules. That was it. Right? And they judge you off that.
Right.
And then 3 people place. First, second, third. And you find that out on the last night when they give out the trophies. Teacher told me ain't nobody ever won with their own poem. I don't give a fuck. He said a gang of years. It was like 40-something years. I'm like, all right, nigga, whatever. I don't care.
Sheesh.
So I told my teacher, every time I practice, I'm like, you act like you the nigga from Jackson State. You stand there like you the Jackson State nigga. It was 3 of them. I'm like, and y'all be the judges right here.
He would set it up.
I like that.
So bam. Nigga, when I pulled a number, I was praying. I said, God, at least let me pull higher than 10. At least 10.
Right, because that's when people still paying attention.
No, they pay attention the whole time, but I didn't want to go early. I want the fuck niggas up. I wanted to see the competition.
You wanted to make sure that it was.
Really, I wish I had last, but it didn't go like that. I pulled number 11, though. So when I pulled number 11, the nigga that went before me, he was probably like number 6 or something. The nigga that I seen before, that won last year. He was really good. Nigga. And then this other girl, she did a poem that was about rape. It was called, I forgot what it was called, but she was really, really good too. Those are the people that end up placing. So when I pulled my number, I went to my teacher, and he like, do not get angry. You go see these people, they go be your vocal point. That's it. After you give them whatever your minute, however you say it, do what you supposed to do. I'm like, all right, man, yeah. So they, when the people go up, they tell you, you're not a name, you're your number. My number is 11, and you place who wrote the poem and the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you, do not overpower the performers, even if you're into it. That means, like, if you like it, don't be doing too much, right?
Right, right, right.
You just like, okay.
Right,
basically
right.
Swag it. So the judges could be, keep so the swag. Judges could. No, not you, the audience. They tell the audience.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, they tell the audience because you don't want to throw them off.
Got you.
So, nigga, the girl went, he went. I'm like, damn, that was good. That was good. I went up, bro. I swear to God. I almost forgot my intro, but it was something like, my heart is black, something the truth. I'm so black, I'm blue.
Mm-hmm.
People start sitting over there, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to get these niggas. Bro was right there, teacher was right there, other nigga right there, judge was right there. Bro, when I mean my first minute, you could hear a pin drop, like not the bad kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck?
Right.
Bro, I start gassing them niggas. When I got like to a minute and 37, I'm on the other nigga. They couldn't even argue. God damn. The judge was like, yo, chill out, bro. I got to like my fourth minute. Bro, that shit went crazy. Once I think it was probably like 6 minutes and 36 seconds, right? When I finished, bro, everybody started standing up clapping. They had to sit the niggas down. I got off, right? So my teacher was like, you did what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Don't be mad if you don't place. I'm like, all right, nigga, I ain't give a fuck. At least I get some third.
He didn't see none of that. That's
no,
crazy.
It's only because he been going for.
Yeah, yeah, he knew what it was.
He went to an HBCU. He's telling you the statistics.
Yeah. Now, the probably fast. Now, it's mad old. Now, it was old then. And he been going for years, nigga, like 30. He was taking Southwest kids all the time.
Right.
So he's seen it. He's seen niggas get off like, don't, like, you did it, you left it on the stage. Nigga, on that last night, bro, they called a girl. Third, the nigga second, everybody start looking around. I'm like, who the fuck else? If it's not me, like, nigga, I know that was good. Bro, they called my name, bro. They went crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you won.
And then I went back the next year and got
first.
That's again. Lit. And that's then I lit. Went back the third year, didn't place. Then I got third and then second.
Okay, that's so lit. How many times you been?
I went 5 years straight.
I like that.
That's dope.
How long have you been since the last time you went?
Shit, like 13? Like, Eight years probably.
For real?
Yeah.
You didn't go back to support?
My teacher, no, I wanted, okay, so when he retired, on my fifth year, he retired. And they had me say a poem for him. But it was weird because, you know, Southwest is only a 2-year college. I've been 5 years at the moment.
I ain't gonna lie.
Now,
we were not focused on the math.
Now, hold on.
Now that you zeroed in.
Now, let me give you the photo. Because I already told y'all, I didn't take no classes.
Oh, right.
Only took those classes. Now, let me tell you, how I became good is I stayed up under my teacher, Mr. Cord. He started sending me to the acting classes, and they start basically guinea pigging me. Mm. I would sit in the back, and they'll call me up to right. be the demonstration of what they're mm-hmm. teaching. So I wasn't right. just was there. Kid. I literally learned all that shit.
Student.
Yeah, like, and I never took no other class. The only class, only other class I took, and I dropped out like the second day. They did a class on African history or something like that. And my teacher told me I should take it because I need to learn the history of what we went
right,
through. He
right.
was telling me it would make my writing better.
Right.
I sat in there for 2 days and I couldn't do it. And no disrespect again. I don't want nobody feeling because I'm a black man.
So everybody why you couldn't do it though?
Well, it was boring.
I was boring. Everybody learned their own way. Some people don't want to hear
I couldn't
a teacher
it.
Talk and read out of a book all yeah. day.
I didn't want to take a class. I didn't want to take a class at all that didn't have nothing that further what I was doing. And he right. told me it would. But
you couldn't see that.
The
perception.
Yeah, just like in 2018, we took one of my plays, the movie Coming to America. I made it a poetry play. We took it to Atlanta, or 2017 or 2018, to Morehouse and Homecoming. And when it was done, the teacher, Sister Aku, shout out to Sister Aku if you ever see this, she took me in the back when it was done and she asked me, Holla, that was great. What books did you read? And I didn't want to sound dumb because I'm not a dumb individual. But from what she's seen and what she heard, she felt I have read all of these
Like you
books.
Had to have some type of right, historical just, influence.
And every book she named, I never even heard of. Never even read. So, yeah.
It was natural.
It's a God-given thing, bro. But that's probably why my teacher would tell me, go focus on this because the vocabulary probably could become better. You could use more things. But I just couldn't obtain the knowledge because I couldn't sit through it. Which is, I don't know, like,
it has to be entertaining to me. It has
everybody learn different. Yeah.
Like I don't read books, I watch interviews.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
me. Yeah. And if I'm reading something, I ain't gonna lie. Like I be on the gram and I see somebody do an interview, I go read what they wrote. But like just books, like that's not my thing. You know what I'm saying? Some people
that's
I think it's probably I think it might be like due to your own, like you said, wild imagination.
So yeah,
like
that's kind of what
I need to I need to see the whole idea here, or I'm gonna start making my own ideas.
Yeah, it don't be like I can't like, and now even now like all the books where'd that they were telling us to read
in my shirt,
like that shit wasn't. All that shit was like now they telling you that wasn't the truth. Now yeah. the things we used to read, they was like, oh, this ain't even what really happened.
Before it's too late, let's take our shot now for all the for the whole thing, because that's like
no, wild. You got a crazy big journey. Big
I'm yeah, like crazy. I'm not above you. Oh,
I'm not below you. I'm right with you.
Yeah.
You irritating as hell, first of all.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I went on a whole rant about that. My bad.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
No, for real. The story.
Like a couple of years ago, and I just always thought you were fascinating. So it's like, it's so cool to actually know that you have a fascinating story, too.
Appreciate it.
That's so tight. Have you thought about doing like a biopic?
I have to do greater things in order to make a biopic, I feel like.
Damn, well, just redo that. You know, like, look at, well, just when redo that story that you told me.
The people.
Redo that. That would be good enough for me. That would be one for the book. Do me a little TikTok reel.
Yeah, like, what I do haven't even really started, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
I've been.
You could be too hard on yourself, too.
No, it's not that. It's what, you. I guess, success is a perception.
It is.
So sometimes when I do sit down and I read back to things I've done, to be from LA and where I'm from, I have done extraordinary things a regular man, which is why my favorite movie is Forrest Gump, because he was a regular dude that did extraordinary things. Now I have.
Right.
But
that's why, not to cut you off, not to cut you short, that's why when I know you from what I see, you may not see what I see, but I see a lot.
Appreciate that,
man. I see a lot of stuff that I'm like, man, I want to do that. I want to be like this. I want to do like this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And it's like, nigga, you setting up plays. You doing shows. You setting up the whole everything. And I done came to one of your sessions.
Yes, sir.
So you can say fame is a perception. It's not just yours, though.
No, that's true. Because it is people like exactly what you're saying that be like, nigga, don't be hard on yourself. You have this shit that niggas they never did.
Or which, like you are,
which I agree to that.
You are part of like the inspo. Like I was saying, I'm like, I got those historic stories. Like you interviewed me when I first started my my vending machine business, and I discovered you from like somebody else, and I was like, was who stable. Is this? He was doing he had a holla radio show.
Yeah, it was Tough Crowd Radio.
Yeah,
come on, man.
And it was so freaking cool. Before podcasting was called podcasting.
Yeah, it was radio.
I wanted to
radio.
Do something that was like podcasting, which is like what it is now. So I had developed like this whole audio show, and I was putting it on SoundCloud because like there was nowhere else to put it at, and I'm like, I don't know, shit, this is where niggas put their mixtape music.
They was putting it at.
Yeah, so I put it on SoundCloud, and Pooh introduced me to DJ Head and Chris, and Chris was like, you should look up this dude Holla. He's kind of like what you're trying to do. He was like, he an innovative, cool dude too, and Chris put me on you, and then I literally became obsessed. Like,
it's my case though.
This
Chris.
No, not K-Styles. It was DJ Head Partner. I can't remember what was the name of their radio show.
That shit was
Homegrown Radio.
Duh. No, we know it's Homegrown Radio.
We know Homegrown.
With the specific show.
It was something.
Yeah, but it was like...
My homegirl Bliss had a show on Homegrown, too.
Yeah.
Bliss was on here. Homegrown Radio was another radio show.
Yeah, she was. She was just on there.
It was another radio show or station, and he told me, like, you should look up Holla, because he seems like he's trying to do, because they could not understand my idea. They was literally like, what are you trying to do? And I'm like, I want to create a pre-written entertainment audio segment that's like me and my homegirl on the phone talking about crazy stuff that happened at work, but like we're not using people names, but we want the titles to be hashtags. He was like, what? It was called SMH Radio.
And you know the crazy,
shaking my head radio.
Shaking my head.
You know the radio. Crazy part about we talking about radio. When I first started doing my record label, because I didn't know where to put the music, I was literally trying to create a record, FM station.
Isn't
to
growth put the most to put it out.
Like
thing?
That was like in 2005.
Think about how big our imaginations are.
That's what they're doing now.
You was like, I'm not about to try to get to Big Boy. Like, just make my own radio
station. Even though I did get to Big Boy.
So when I discovered him, that's what I said. I said, y'all just made your own radio station? Mm-hmm. Like, this is so cool.
Like, in the hood. In the hood, I'd have done
a lot.
Yeah, then next time I seen you, I was like, he's doing a play.
Yeah.
I went to one of your plays at the Regency.
Yeah, the play came because at Southwest, the student body president was like, man, we need to make some money. And he had the play production class with me. He was like, you ever thought about putting on a play outside of in class? And I was like, not really. And he was like, would you put one on and we split the money? And I was like, nigga, hell yeah. But let me tell you. So my first play, I'm a big In Living Color fan.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote a variety play, which was just like, just different scenes and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what In Living Color, like, right. I didn't know.
In Living Color was the shit.
That shit was fire.
So my first play, if you went to Southwest, it was $5. If you didn't, wasn't student body, it was $7. 125 people came. We split the money down the middle. The only thing with that was he had to go through the school and their process. So it took me 4 months to get paid for me to split it up with the homies. Then he came to me again and was like, you want to do one more? I'm like, nigga, no. Like, that shit took long, nigga. I don't know bit of money. The fuck? He was like, all right, we'll make sure you have it in 19 days this time. So our second one, I didn't really have a name for the first one. My boy Shawnee Black, shout out to Shawnee Black. He just showed me an old ass picture.
That's my dog.
He was my DJ in my first play.
I played basketball.
Yeah, my first two plays. A lot of people don't know that. Me and Shawnee Black are really, really good friends. But he just showed me the picture from the old one, and I seen the flyer. I was like, God damn, nigga. But the second one was called Back to the Future. So it was Back to the Future poetry and comedy show. And that's, at the time, Tough Crowd, we used to spell it separate. It was Tough and then crowd, and it was separate. And we did it, and 250 people came. First, it was 120, 250 people came. And one of the kids that came from Washington, he ran up to me, and he was like, he used to go to Washington. Man, I used to go to Washington. I go to Southwest now. He was like, you ever heard of, I forget his name, Mr. He gonna kill me from the beginning. Anyway, Mr. He was a drama teacher at Washington, but for a very long time. Mr. Cofield? I think it's Cofield. But the kid told me you should meet him. Maybe you could do your plays at Washington. So I was like, all right. So the next day we walked down to Washington after we got out of class.
Obviously.
Me and the kid. He was in the theater. I walked up to Cofield. The kid was like, yeah, he had a play. 250 people came. So Cofield was like, oh, you write plays? He was like, I tell you what. I let you do a play here if you put Washington kids in it. I'm like, that's it? He's like, yep. It was a 1,200 seater, right?
Damn.
So I'm like, okay. It was close to Halloween. He like, how long would it take? So I'm like, I could write a Halloween play. And I was gonna make it like In Living Color how I did, but Halloween style. And it was $10. We split five.
Went up some.
But it was because of the kids. Mm. Nigga, was so many kids, and you know everybody coming to see your fucking kids.
Right, right.
So the first play I did at Washington, it clocked at about like 570 people that I did at Washington.
10 times.
Yeah, we split, but yeah, but you. It was a million people though in my crew, so it wasn't even about the money. So I started. Then I did five at Washington, and then I did like seven at the Regency West. And I started how I developed.
I made it to at least three Regency West shows.
Them was the ones.
And
let me tell you why.
No. Let me say the evolution of the Regency shows, too. Look at the first show, and it came with like a drink.
Yeah.
But the second show, he came with a drink. And I think it cost $10 more.
Because I was like 20. No, it was because.
Explain, my brother.
Yeah, nah, it was because.
but the I want to know why the drink thing gave going. No, because I think they started saying, like, we're going to make some money.
Yeah,
like,
but shit, not me. Money. It was the venue.
The venue.
How I did it for the Regency, like I was saying, I was going to the HBCU's battles, and the poetry had to be like from 5 to 7 minutes.
Right.
Niggas' poems is not that long, bro.
Right.
An average poem is like 1 minute to 3 minutes to at most. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And 3 minutes is with like a lot of emotional, yes, theatrical shit.
So I had to do 5 to 7. So it was already like, I was already writing short stories. So one day I was in the car with one of the people that was in Tough Crowd, and I was like, man, I want to do a poetry show, and I want it to be like poetry in motion. I want it to be like whatever I'm saying, though it rhymes, you see it like a scene, because nobody ever did that. Shakespeare did that. He did poetry, and it was like theater. But culture-wise, it's never been done.
Never been done.
So I was like, I want to do that. And the homie was like, at the time, he was like, nigga, that'd be crazy. And my first poetry show was called Days in the Dark. And it was some of the poems that I was already writing at Southwest that I took and I made it action, like live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this thing I call and response, because I'm from the old school. Call and response used to be where the DJ say something and the crowd react. But I made it where my DJ say something, we say a thing, and then the song come on and we react to the song.
I remember that. That was so fire.
So on my first one. And then it was medley. Isaiah came on my Isaiah.
I love Isaiah.
He came in my second one. Yeah, my first one.
I did not want to bring up Isaiah, but let me just give it a shot. That's my favorite. My favorite TCE member. I see Isaiah randomly at like a random place, and I was like, "Hey, he's from Tough Crowd."
Yeah, he's very popular right now.
Working a whole event. Yeah. Like, hey, he's from Tough Crowd.
Wait, on my first one,
like, what is that? I said,
he's singing. He did the commentating now.
Yeah. I seen him on TikTok and Instagram.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I met him.
On my first poetry play, he wasn't in it, but and we was already.
Welcome to another episode of Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. Today, we're excited to introduce you to a refreshing new sponsor that's sure to quench your thirst and elevate your palate, Stintino Sparkling Water. Imagine sipping on the vibrant flavors of Italy with every bubble. Stintino offers 3 unique and mouthwatering varieties that will transport you straight to the Mediterranean. First up, we have the Sicilian Blood Orange. This isn't just any orange flavor. It's infused with anise, fennel, and basil, and sweetened with the finest Italian grape sugar. It's a symphony of flavors that dances on your taste buds. Next, there's the Sicilian Cactus Pear, an exotic blend that combines the subtle sweetness of cactus pear with the bold notes of strawberry and black pepper. And yes, it's sweetened with Italian grape sugar, ensuring a naturally delightful taste. Finally, we have the Amalfi Lemon, a crisp and invigorating choice that pairs the zesty brightness of Amalfi lemons with fresh basil, all sweetened with Italian grape sugar. It's like a sunny Italian afternoon in a bottle. Don't just take our word for it. Experience the effervescent magic of Stintino Sparkling Water for yourself. Visit stintinosparkling.com to explore more and place your order today. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram at openbarpodcast-was and visit openbarpodcast.com for the latest updates and episodes. Stay tuned, stay refreshed, and keep the conversation flowing. Welcome to another episode of the Open Bar Podcast, where the conversation is never on the rocks, but it's straight up no chaser. Today, we're excited to introduce our sponsor, Tequila Gran Diamante. If you're looking for a tequila experience that epitomizes luxury and excellence, look no further. Let's start with their award-winning platter. Crafted from the finest estate-grown agave Tequilana Weber, this tequila has a captivating blend of wafting scents, including spices, slight vanilla, vegetal, and floral tones, all balanced perfectly with rich agave notes. Its medium-weight body and silky, buttery, velvety texture make every sip a pure delight. The platter rests in stainless steel for 23 to 28 days, ensuring a flawless finish. Next, we have the Reposado. This remarkable tequila also uses the finest estate-grown agave Tequilana Weber and rests in French oak barrels for 8 months, enriching its character. The Reposado is bursting with flavors of spice, pepper, balanced agave, butterscotch, and caramel. It offers a medium-weight body with a buttery, velvety texture, complemented by a slight wood and smoke essence that delivers a refined and unique taste. Finally, let's talk about the Añejo. Aged for 18 months in new French oak barrels, this full-bodied tequila features a luscious body and satiny texture. It offers smooth hints of muted spice, pepper, and oak undertones, which taper down to a thoroughly enjoyable finish. The Añejo has a refined bouquet of aromas, including butterscotch, cinnamon, nutmeg spices, and hints of chocolate and cigar. Its slight wood and smoke essence provide the character and nuance found in older Añejos. So why wait? Elevate your tequila experience today by shopping at tequilagrandiamante.com. Don't forget to follow the Open Bar podcast on all social media platforms to stay updated and book your spot for our next episode. Visit us at openbarpodcast.com. Cheers to great conversations and even greater tequila.
Doing mellies, but I was putting them together and they weren't good because I don't know how to sing, first of all. To me, they was good, but I don't know how to sing.
Like, and
I
didn't know like church.
I didn't know arrangement. No, so look. So Isaiah came on the radio show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, bro, would you be in my poetry show? You know, come to rehearsal. He was like, yeah. And he came. And in my second show, it was called Don't Change the Channel, is how the medley part, because now it's a whole formula. You know what I'm saying? So it was basically, I always made sure I have a fire opener. Yeah. I always do the call and response to start the second half, and I always end the second half with a medley. Now, when Isaiah came, the medley part of what I do in my shows evolved because, one, he could sing, two, he knew how to direct. But he grew into that from always being around the surroundings of what we was doing.
Miss you when these people were so freaking young. Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember at one point in time, I wanted to tell all your business, ago. But at one point in time, this motherfucker's trying to house all these motherfuckers. Like, yeah, I need a place to stay. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm like, you could bring a room in my, I had a little two-bedroom. He said, yeah, it's like 13 of, oh, no, nigga. I don't think I got enough room for you and your fucking entourage. Yeah. He's like, no, these some good kids, man. They just need to be focused. They just need to be able to just, We need to be locked in more. It's so much of you that influenced even the way that I handle team building. Like, that shit fire that you
only because, bro, like when I was little, I wish I had that, bro. We had the YMCA, but the YMCA, to my knowledge, really I didn't have access.
I took karate. YMCA was
Christian based.
I had Boys and Girls Club.
But did Boys and Girls Club Christian based.
Yeah, like I didn't have an outlet where it was like, oh, that's dope. My door is still open. My door has forever been open. Like, a nigga come to the show and be. But the thing, what people find out fast is like, I say Tough Crowd is an acquired taste. Cause you might be like, nigga, that's cracking. I want to come. Then you come and it's like, well, we're working so hard. Yes, yes.
That shit oh my gosh.
Yes, yes. Like,
are
people
those
just,
expectations? Yeah,
niggas see. The outcome of what, they don't see what we're doing. Like, that shit is a lot of work, especially, like, early on when there was, like, 50 of us.
Right.
40 of us.
Bruh.
Now it's probably about 20-some of us, you know what I'm saying?
That's still a great thing.
You don't give yourself goddamn credit.
Which is why the purposefulness was to bring up this entire topic. Yeah. Was to show you. We know you the shit, boy.
Yeah, you wild. You wild for even, you wild.
I don't dance for everybody now. Shit, you
try
to fucking know.
I can, man. You know, what I was saying, like, I really appreciate when people tell me that because in my mind, when I see these things come to what they be and we be practicing, like, you know, trying all this stuff and then a person come to the show, I be sitting there, like, in the parts I'm not in, like, damn, I really did that. To this day, still, my mom, she come to the shows and be like, son, you did all that? And I be like, yeah, mom.
I mean, when you first ever told me, like, I wrote the whole show, I'm like,
yeah.
You the whole understand. Thing? All
That's
the
what
people?
Tyler Perry was doing. Yeah. Putting the whole show together doing. And is doing. Yeah, he's still doing it.
That's
he
what Holla is doing.
Holla the West Coast Tyler. For real.
When he came on my Amazon, I said, now I got to get in the movie. Holla in the movie. Y'all wrote the motherfucking movie. I got to get in that movie.
Yeah, the Amazon Prime 2 shit was like, okay, so we shot the movie, and one day, person from the movie called me like, nigga, it's on Amazon Prime, right? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. I'm like, what?
I'm confused.
They're what? Like, no. The person was like, it's on Amazon Prime.
So I'm looking at you shot?
A movie we shot, right? One of the ladies from the movie called me and was like, I'm on Amazon Prime, because she was in the movie.
Okay.
And I'm like,
she calling you thinking like, I can't believe you didn't hear me.
Yeah.
I'm on Amazon
shit,
Prime.
I don't know, right? So I go to Amazon Prime, boo boo. I type in Concrete Jungle, boo boo. That shit right there. I'm like, oh fuck, I hop up. I'm going crazy. Like, nigga, I'm on Amazon Prime. I didn't make the
deal.
So it was kind of like, it was bittersweet. You know, it was right. Like, nigga, you're on Amazon Prime.
But it's like, where's the bread?
And I'm not going to lie. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. And I could say this on camera. I thought the homie Bosco did some dirty shit. Because Bosco was in the movie. I thought, and he was in Amazon Prime movies. Right. So in my head, and I told him this, and you know, in my head, this nigga went and took my film, sold it to the niggas he fuck with, and they put it on Amazon Prime.
And I'm not getting shit.
So I called bro. I didn't call him like mad or nothing. I'm like, Bosco.
We gonna wait for that.
Like, nigga, that shit on Amazon Prime. He like, what? That shit on Amazon Prime, blood.
Bosco.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He was basically the villain.
That's funny.
So he like, I'm like, man, did you take my shit and do that? He said, what? Blood, I would never do no shit.
It's so funny. That nigga. But you know who you sound like
he
a
said,
little bit?
Why you sound like you?
He said, I don't really be fucking with niggas like that, blood. He was like, I would never do no shit like that. And I'm like, you know what, man? You right, man. I apologize to him. He was like, for sure, blood. Because just naturally, I don't even know why I would even think that. And I did. I judged a person and I shouldn't have.
Right.
Because in what we developed a relationship through the gram. I basically DM'd him like, bro, I got this part. I know you're trying to get on your shit. I feel like you would be right for it. You know what I'm saying? He read it. He was like, I fuck with that. And we built a relationship. So I don't even know why I would feel like that, because we all had a common goal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I couldn't for the life of me remember what I'm like, nigga, I ain't took no meetings, nothing. This is what I was trying to do. Right?
He like, I cannot figure out.
So the homies that came to my premiere, two niggas from the South, seen my shit. They, one of their girls brought them out there. They went, them niggas hit me like, nigga, that shit was fire, nigga. Like, you on Amazon Prime. I'm trying to get you on Tubi. I'm like, they like, how did your shit get on Amazon Prime? I'm like, I don't even know. They was like, send me the information. We go track it down. These niggas hit me.
Don't you love smart
They was
people?
Like, with black people too. Two niggas. They like, it came from this
whenever
company.
Whenever I talk about people, they
it came from this man. It made this. It ain't made that much money yet. It had made like $836. It made this amount of money. We go get a cease and desist. Do you know who these people is? And I'm looking at like, I do not know these people, right? So we went in further. And it had a lady name. And I'm listening to the name. I'm like, wait, hold the fuck up. So I had a breakfast meeting with a lady. I'm not going to say her name. We met at in Leimert Park.
He was the one that settled me, huh?
Where the fuck in Leimert Park? No, I didn't even sue. I'm going to tell you what happened. We went to...
Go ahead. Yeah,
Leimert Park. Yeah. We ate somewhere in Leimert Park. We had like breakfast, all that. And we talked. And the lady told me she could get my shit on Amazon Prime, or I forgot what the other place was. She said, let me send it to my people. We're going to have another meeting, me and you, and then we're going to have the company meeting. We're going to sign the papers if they fucking with it. So I'm happy. I'm like, all right, that shit sound cool with me. I'm telling niggas, man, I did a little breakfast meeting.
With might be calling the deal pretty
good. Yeah, it might be going out.
Yeah, right?
Never heard from the lady again. Nigga, the lady name on there. They call her. I'm on the phone. She say, Holla, you don't remember when you told me I could put this on Amazon Prime? I said, man, we ain't never discussed no shit like that. I was like, and you a black woman, why would you? Because I told her my story, my nigga. I literally sat and told her my story and what I go through.
Right.
How people was trying to exploit me for my talent.
Right.
Because that's what niggas do. Niggas see, holla mad nice. Oh, I got this going on. Holla. Niggas try to exploit me for my talent.
Right.
Which I'm not having that no more. But at the time, this is what niggas was doing. They'll call me, hey, I need you to do this. And then I go put some fire ass shit out for them. Then when I need them, niggas not there.
Not knowing where to find
and I told her that, bro. And she went and took my shit to
how
these
did she
people.
Get it?
YouTube. It was on you. It was on you. Cause I put it. Look, I put it on YouTube first, and it was bubbling on YouTube. She took it directly, nigga. When I mean no changes on Amazon Prime, it was nothing changed. She literally took it straight off YouTube. So when it was up on Amazon, people was telling me. Leave it up, holla. Don't do the cease and desist. Let it get its numbers up. And I'm like, man, but I'm nigga, nah.
Like no.
This my work, my nigga. This shit.
I'm about to
bit.
Fight y'all for my check.
Yeah.
How about y'all just take my shit down now?
I'm like, $800. You a black woman? Why would you do that? She said, you know, you gave me your word of mouth. I'm like, we didn't get no word of mouth. It's supposed to be a contract. You told me. So she told her boss. Long story short, they took it off. Right. When they took it off, they had it on YouTube. So my shit, I mean not YouTube, my shit was on Tubi and Amazon at the same time. Right?
I do recall that.
When it was on, when they start doing like the paperwork with Tubi and all that, and they seen that how long it was taking for Amazon Prime to take it down, they took my shit off too. It was a wrap.
Fucked it up.
It was a wrap, bro. And the homies, I tried to come back to the homies with, because this was before Tubi was doing originals.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now they giving niggas bread.
This is when
bread.
They was just out here putting out
yeah.
old ass movies.
This is when niggas was like, they're not fucking so with Tubi.
They was fucking with the bootleg.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Tubi, the two homies was like, nigga, so if your shit hit, we out of here.
So don't you take that, just that in itself, and be like, I got something. Let's make it make sense.
No, I have hella shit. The thing I've been running to, bro, and this is just honesty, is that I've learned that I don't want to sound wrong.
You say that shit that is. That's what you said.
No. But I don't want to sound like, because I'm not bitter about nothing. So I don't want to make it even sound like that. I just gotta be truthful. I've learned that, and it be our own people. The wrong niggas be holding the keys to the gate.
If you can't
make your own. Now I have created my own lane. Mm-hmm. Right now, tomorrow, I could say, hey, I want to do a play at Whoopty Whoop and go write it and put it on. But that's not what I'm trying to get into. I'm trying to get into film and movies.
Right.
That's what I'm on. That's right. All I'm focused on. And with that, I have met a lot of gatekeepers. And when you explain and they see your vision and they know it's bigger than anything and they know, like,
they can put their fingers on it.
Yeah. Not even that. If they can't, and I go somewhere else.
Type of people are.
Yeah, and they know, like, because not like that. And I mean this as humble as I can. I always tell people the moment.
You sat here the whole time humble.
I know, bro. I'm just
I need a little spark.
I'm just trying to say.
I need to fuck that. That's what I need to
Okay, well, I'm going to say this.
I'm pouring some
tea. I know.
Oh, God, look, nigga, fuck all of that.
The moment I get a chance.
Yeah.
The moment I get the chance.
Respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully. The moment I get the chance, like, my run, I know 20 years straight.
What? Come on now.
And the reason I know that is because, like, I have what we all been missing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no disrespect to anybody that make film, anybody. Everybody got their own thing. A lot of people shit 50, on
Tyler Perry.
Yeah, that's why I need to meet. But what I'm saying is, we missed the feeling of, remember you go see a John Singleton movie, whatever. I just
on
my life.
Boys in the Hood.
God take me tonight. I just watched, this was the Hughes Brothers. It wasn't Boys in the Hood, but I just watched Menace to Society. Uh-huh. And watching it, I still felt like, God,
nigga, can't fucking believe
that's
they
LA.
Killed this motherfucker, Ricky, on his way to fucking
you just
college.
Started her
that
up.
Was this nigga.
No, that's Boys in the Hood. I'm talking about Boys in the Hood. But bro, that was 1993.
Mm-hmm.
We 2024, and I sat there in my bed, nigga, and was like, God damn, this nigga, he didn't make it. I still felt like, we missed that. The last time I probably felt like that, and I'm not gonna, I felt like that, and I'm not gonna hold you, the first maybe three seasons of Snowfall, I used to feel like, nigga, this
Snowfall,
this shit give me that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then,
You know why though?
Then the second one.
Why it was like that?
Why because John Cena took it. Was LA. It was.
It wasn't the South.
No, it wasn't.
Or even relatively to actual perception of struggle.
Did you just go big on me right quick?
No. Because you're a Virgo and I see you.
You just went hella big on me. Her vocabulary just spilled onto the damn board right now. She just said some complicated words. Is it what? Say it again.
I can't. I don't even know what I said. Damn. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what
I said. What you got, goddamn.
Tell you, sometimes I'm you just jump out. I'm trying to spill my vocabulary.
Shit. Yeah.
But I think that that's like, that's the, we miss getting the relatable perception.
We don't have, no, not even relatable, because niggas still try to make that. It's not the relatable.
Yeah, but it don't feel relatable. It feels like I like it.
Because it's not authentic anymore.
Exactly.
Like, even though we know the streets have evolved.
Who is that rapper?
The young niggas have evolved.
He ain't broke no more. He can't rap about being broke. One of them rappers.
Kanye West. No, they said, I can't rap about being broke no more. Eminem said that.
Everybody got to say that at this point. Yeah, anybody's making money.
Meek Mill said
that. It was Meek Mill, though.
But the music industry is not making money like that. So they can keep talking like this.
But what I was saying was.
But go ahead.
Everybody was on him about not making struggle music. He was like, I ain't struggling.
No, but I'm saying the reason people still do, it's hella movies on YouTube that give that narrative.
I love them.
Yeah, it don't give the feeling though. And the reason the feeling is not there is because of the perception of what we put, like, it has become so watered down. We don't put actual reality. When you see a movie and it's gangbangers there, it's like the gangbangers look like, nigga, gangbangers ain't doing that. Right.
They doing this.
You don't pull up to the hood no more and there's 30,000 gang members in the front yard. They doing that. Like, that's not real.
Most of the niggas got jobs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the stories have to be really relatable. Like, we do know. I still know some niggas that was like, old dog, gotta air some shit out. But
that's
crazy.
That's a good concept.
No, it is.
Shut up.
No, I'm just.
Shut up.
No, I got that forever.
Come on in a few months.
I always tell. I always tell my crew, imitation of life. If anybody know me, I don't like when, like, you can ask her. We had to do the homie. Had to slap her in a scene. I'm like, nigga, slap her. We can't fake getting slapped. It's the imitation of life.
Slapped?
If the man, what?
I like don't know.
No, listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. The imitation of life.
Yeah,
my oldest son asked me,
Dad,
why do you always depict Grandpa as
a
smoker? Nigga, because Grandpa was a smoker. That's what he was.
That's the only thing I know about Grandpa.
I'm saying the imitation of what goes on, because people ask, bro, I touch on every subject.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure you're not.
Yeah, because it's some. No, not literally. Because somebody in the audience somewhere dealt with a woman dealt with a man that no matter what you did, this man didn't give you the love that you needed, and he abused you.
Right.
So people might trigger somebody, but it's like, oh, somebody could relate.
Right.
They could come up to you and say, you don't make relatable things no more. It'd be so watered down. John Singleton did that. The nigga made a movie about a nigga in a mail truck going to the bay to see his cousin. That don't make no sense.
He met
no
a disrespect. Bitch on the way.
Poetic Justice storyline was a nigga that worked.
God damn, you
that bad, bro. You know what I'm saying? You said that's what you wanted. Now I'm good. Now look,
I'm saying, if you think of
the basis of what poetic justice, if I came into a room and was like, nigga, I got a
really
room, I'll live forever. You like, what is it? It's about a nigga who used to work.
I never really liked that movie. I am not even gonna lie to you. I never liked
Chicago.
Okay, well, let's just say, give me a hood movie that you do like.
You know who Chicago is, though, right?
A hood movie that you do like, and let's break it down.
It's only gonna be, well, I like comedy, so I can't. No, name it. No hood
it's some good comedy.
What you gonna say, Friday?
I'm only gonna say How High.
Okay, How High was the theory.
How High
like, let's
theory.
Just say the theory. No, I'm saying the theory of if you still came into it, it's about two niggas
from the hood,
two niggas that smoke weed,
trying to go to college.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
And somebody,
and it wasn't built up for him, but they still did it.
Yes, and somebody probably be like, "Nigga, that sounds stupid." know what I'm saying? I'm mm-hmm. just saying the basis of it.
But to you, I get what you
liked it because yeah. it's relatable.
Yeah. Now, can I just say one thing? And you probably gonna like go into like a crazy, no offense, Rent in the screen. I don't care. But the direct association of this conversation is literally how high one and how high two.
Oh wow.
How high two was that?
No, the
perfect example.
Yeah, you got
that is such
you got
a
the real shit
example.
And the bullshit.
Let me give you another one. Let me give you another one. No disrespect. Belly one
and belly two.
Belly two.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
Friday too.
No, you can't say Friday.
You can't say none of the Fridays. All the Fridays are
I'm
sorry.
Thank you. My bad.
Yeah, you can't say none of that shit. Because he still gave you all those stories were relatable. They literally hood shit.
What about wait till we get there?
Wait till we get there?
What do you mean? Are we there yet?
I liked Are We There Yet. I just talked
about Evolution Ice Cube. That's not our culture.
That was Ice Cube. You know how a rapper goes and does a pop song? That was him doing his pop song.
No, I wouldn't say I'm gonna take up for Cube. I wouldn't say that because to the depths in which he did music, film is different.
No, but what I'm saying is how in
it was
the
testing
industry,
the waters on
how they say, oh, you're doing pop now, but you're originally in this genre.
No, but that's
so him going to go do a kid movie was like,
no, I wouldn't say that.
He's doing kid movies.
That's why I wouldn't say that. That's why I'm saying you limited a man on something that you connected him to his music and what he made instead of connecting him to be an artist. Now, the same way he did.
But he wrote everybody.
The same way he did Boys in the Hood, he also played a pro black in Higher Learning.
True.
So things is different. That's what I'm saying.
Talk
you can't
how,
say
people should talk about. How, I think I'm gonna do a movie night at the lounge.
John Singleton.
I think so many people have not
that's
seen Higher Learning.
That, no, that's what's missing. And the closest I probably got to that was in the scene, which I really liked, was the best man too made me feel like when the nigga was breaking down and the coffin was beat. I felt like damn, this how old movies in the 90s used to make me feel. Best I haven't felt like that. In a black, I don't know, like people don't make
the
black
last
movies,
thing I
bro.
Felt like that in, I ain't gonna lie.
Was what?
Some of them good ass Detroit YouTube movies.
But that's still not LA.
I know, but that's why I'm
you
like, that's the
say?
Last time I felt
Snow
like,
the
oh,
bluff.
Yeah, good,
Snow on the bluff was good.
Good, mute, good movies might be coming up. Like, oh, this is good entertainment. That like, good. It's given, I might live in Detroit.
Yeah,
shit,
but
I know what's
speak,
up.
We speak in LA. When you watch
LA, no, I don't have it. I'm not getting it. It's not giving. And what they are giving, this is a perceptive world. They're
so talk
only
about you, Holla.
They're only giving us what
talk
they think
now.
We want. They're not giving us what
no,
we
I'm
want.
No, I'm not gonna give you that. The moment
talk
I
about
get,
you now.
No, look, the moment
about
I get
now,
a chance, Holla. I'm telling y'all.
No, you give us
I'm
what
gonna
want.
Give y'all that old nigga, you gonna feel like you trapped in the 90s.
I missed that.
And that's when film and music was at its best.
Facts.
In the 90s, the film and music was at its best. You can't, I mean, there's some good shit in the 80s, early 2000s, but the 90s, nigga, for LA, the best shit was made. Yeah. The best music ever was made. You know what I'm
the
saying?
The best memories
Pop,
were made.
Big, Nas, Q,
Belly.
LL.
All those movies in
Ice
that era.
T.
All the movies in that
even
era.
Even the 90s. Soundtracks from that
all
era.
All those movies
crazy.
In the 90s.
The 90s. Remember the evolution of the DVD? Remember the evolution of a DVD? You can go to the Bootleg Man and get like one.
I was just
finna say,
did you see Friday on Bootleg or in the movies?
Bootleg
I seen it first on Bootleg.
But this the evolution of a DVD because
first time on Bootleg. I remember the numbers
wrong. How happy was you when the Bootleg Man told you?
Sorry, Q.
He had all three Fridays on one Bootleg.
Yeah.
Nigga, it's movie night around this
bitch. Hey, that Michael Bond as fuck. I just want to say that.
That's yes. a nigga. Look, yes. he came clean. I ain't even telling him.
Quick question,
I ain't even to tell y'all yes, this sir. Business.
For somebody. Nah, you good, bro. We ain't got no time. This is unscripted,
yeah, we do whatever we want to do here. We work here.
We talk about.
We work here, friend.
Can I get some more tequila in this
motherfucker?
He needs some.
He about to get
some more.
Our producer needs some too. Goddamn! Honorary artist.
Was I supposed to do that? Broke
the
fourth wall.
Yeah, y'all can do it. We
okay,
can do anything.
This
Six Flags the podcast.
Okay, I imagine.
You talk how you want to talk. Energetic.
It's not like we know.
Tell your story.
I don't cut shit out. To be honest with you.
Yeah, he don't.
But
yes.
The question was, what kind of advice would you give like an up and coming writer? Because I'm not gonna call you I'm an artist writer.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give somebody that's coming up?
Write stuff that people miss.
Do your homework, basically.
Yeah, but you also have to write things that will last forever.
Okay.
So what I do is, I always try to write a person that you can't forget. Imitation of life. We all have an uncle that sold dope.
Mm-hmm.
We all had a mama that smoked crack. We also had a little cousin that was probably in the closet scared to come out because his family was going to judge him. We had a person that worked so fucking much you never get to see him. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, we don't see none of that. No
we had people that was chasing their dreams their whole life and it never happened for them, but they were so passionate about it that you respect it. We got niggas that always trying to scam somebody. We got the homie that was, he gangbanging, he going to the function to fuck somebody up, he not going to fuck your girl, he going there for the evils. So when I write, no, true story. I had a homie, and rest in peace, I'm not going to say his name, he was one of my closest friends, and they always say you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And if you didn't know him personally, the streets knew him, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But personally, he was like, sweetest dude,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we hit the function, he on a nigga head, he gonna press you.
Yeah, who in here?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I try to take real life, if that's what we're writing, I try to take that and I put that into a character, and you give them lines and a story that people can't forget. That somebody, no matter what you do, out of all those people I named, somebody gonna be sitting and they gonna watch and they gonna be like, damn, that's Uncle Jay right there. He just like
right,
that.
Relatable.
Or damn, that's the homie C folk. We be doing the most. Like, you know, so that's the advice I would give. I would give like, go to the best place where you get your best ideas. I was just telling her, I get my best ideas, excuse me, when I'm in the bathroom. Or
nigga just scrolling and giggling like, oh, I can't wait till I get this.
Or I'm riding in the car by myself and it's a song that I listen to all the time. Or when I go to the movies and I see a really good movie, I always get an idea from either a really good movie or a really bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell a writer.
Oh, but I definitely get ideas from bad movies.
Yeah. You go to a place where you can hear it clearly. And right when you hear that, you chase that idea. Like, I don't, all the ideas that I know, like, one day, they coming up out of here. Yeah, so that's the advice I would give. Like, don't, yeah, write with intent.
Write with intent.
Ladies. Yeah, and don't cheat. Like, don't cheat the process. I told one of my kids they're going to, his name is Chance. What's the New York school Chance going to?
Yeah.
The New York school?
Yeah, he's going for acting. It's like, only 2%.
When he'll
Juilliard?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, Chance, he's in my crew. Yeah, I just honored 3 of my kids. Shout out to Skyler, Jay, and Chance. Pace, he's going to Pace. And he's really, really good.
He's dope.
So we just honored them on Sunday. I had a dinner for them. And, you know, I was just basically telling them, like, man, you ahead of your time. Just don't cheat the process.
Right.
And when I mean don't cheat it, if you come to me and you say, holla, I got something for you. And you see something in me because you feel like I'm the one to bring your vision to life. Now I'm at the point where I don't really want to do stuff I don't like unless it's a favor. So I would even tell you that. I would read it and be like, bro, I'm only doing this because you my nigga.
Right.
But even then, I'm not going to cheat it. But if it's something I love, don't cheat it, bro. I'm going to hand a nigga their ass
I got
every
something
time,
for you, too. I ain't going to even lie to you.
Yeah.
I got something for
you. Yeah, I tell people that. Like, I don't cheat, bro. I always find niggas see me like.
Did I let you? I don't think I never let you.
No, you didn't. We talked, but we
didn't. Yeah.
Like, people see me, they be like, nigga, you be out, you be popping, you be lit. But people do not know I always find time for my work. Nigga, I work very hard.
I was about to say, but that's because you work very hard and you love your work.
Yes. I always, if I don't do nothing, I find I'm in the room. A nigga hit me. They don't know. I just wrote a whole little. Like I haven't. Like so, I said, I haven't been doing no plays. But I'll write a little rhyme and put it up on.
My next question is: what are you missing to make you get to where you need to go? As far as
money,
it's the money.
That's it.
So what's your Kickstarter?
You come with. No, that's what I was just about to get. That's what I was just about to get to. It's not. That's. This is for the first time. What I'm finna be doing, and it was because I was dealing I was going through some things because, like I said, I'm not trying to do a play. I'm not trying to do another play because
trying to get to these
that's
moves.
Something. Yeah, that's something I could do with my eyes closed. I could go.
Well, I mean, those can fund.
No, not it can't fund the vision. Right now, it can't. Like I could go make a movie, make some real bread, and then come back and make a play and tour it. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But right now, what we speaking of right now, what I want to do is funding. So when she was saying the Kickstarter, for the first time in my life, that's what I'm going to do. And I can say it here because it ain't nothing that I'm hiding. It ain't 6 years ago, I shot some in Atlanta. Well, it was called Trap Man. And basically the basis of Trap Man was a nigga who used to gangbang. Excuse me. His best friend was his girlfriend's brother. They was best friends. They was banging. His girlfriend got pregnant. She told him, hey, you need to change your life. He didn't. The brother got killed. She left the son with him. He stopped gangbanging. He had two of his people watch his son. He went to the army to get some discipline, get himself together. Came back to raise his son. When he came back to raise his son, the school that his son was going to, it was a neighborhood dope dealer trying to get the kids to sell dope. So, Trap Man basically.
You never seen Trap Man?
Basically. He told me about it. He definitely told me about it. I never had a chance to look at it, though.
Yeah,
it was so cute.
Basically, Trap Man.
That was a movie we talked about. When
yeah,
we
it was, a, but it was actually, it wasn't a movie. It was a TV show pilot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My homie.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like a TV. Full series.
But I end up writing a full script from it. But it was originally made as a TV. Dramedy and comedy. So it was kind of like Friday meets.
I got one for
Luke
you too.
Cage
it was like Friday meets My Wife and Kids.
Meets Black Lightning type shit.
Ooh, I like Black Lightning.
So,
I don't like Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Black Lightning wasn't bad.
We'll talk about it.
I feel like it was corny.
We'll talk about it. Duh.
It was.
That was the point.
It was like a Meteor Man type.
Now take that and put Miss Society Boys and Hood in there. That's what Trap Man is. So okay, basically okay, the basis okay. is like, it's I'm a nigga, bro. So the nigga shit gonna be there, but it's still gonna be funny, but it's funny nigga shit. So what has never been done that I'm doing, so if a nigga try now, y'all already see this. It's
too late.
Been black superheroes from the hood.
Right.
But it's never been when they change into who they are, they still hood. So my costume was a khaki suit, Chucks,
the tube socks,
no. LA fit hat.
When I say, did you bring Hitch to the real world?
Hitch.
Was that his? What was his name as a superhero?
Hancock was a fucking idiot. He was white idiot.
That's why I said you're bringing Hancock to the real world. You're bringing Hancock to me. Because when I see Hancock, I said...
That's one of my favorite movies.
It wanted to make a romance like storyline, like, and that's the part that threw me off. Because the romance part don't match. He supposed to be hood and just still, going through shit.
He was still a person.
But like fucking people up.
He was still a person you could meet in the valley. Yeah. Trap Man, not that. Trap Man got a whole khaki, so he crib walking while niggas shooting at him. This real hood shit.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like that. So
irritating as fuck, first of all.
But I shot that. And
you the shit.
It didn't go. It didn't.
Because I don't even know what type of like character that could be.
So my son now, shout out to Rito, he 14. He acting my plays. He really good. And I'm not saying that because he's my son.
He's the next birth. He's the next birth of what you got. Birthing.
He better than me when I was 13.
He better be better than you.
I was nowhere near.
You only grew yourself to you.
Yeah, I was nowhere near.
I would expect you to grow up better than you.
They'll tell you that nigga hard, bro. And I'm not saying that because we're my son. But anyway, I was picking him up from school. He being on my plays. We be watching movies. He love movies like he probably watching a movie right now. And he write too, and he rap.
That's dope.
But he can't rap what he rap. Because of his age.
Right.
That makes sense.
You gotta make it make sense.
He can't put out what he wants until he's 18 because of what he be rapping about. Like,
his mind is
No, that's what he listened to. It's who he listened to.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's the type of music.
It's the type of music he listens to.
The influence.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, that's bro, you 14, though. You ain't never did nothing.
That means he got the full imagination already intact, though.
It's for sure there.
Because no disrespect sure to Bow Wow.
No, they heard
us. Snoop was writing your shit. No. We thought you was doing the big old thing.
I mean, Bow Wow, his rhymes was on whatever, on track. Well, he wasn't doing no extra shit.
Yeah, this shit extra. Bow Wow never was on. We shit extra. It's so extra his mama ain't never heard it.
Yeah.
So my son get in the car, we talking, he like, Dad, I want to do an action movie.
Okay.
Fire.
Now I'm already struggling with the film TV shit, but this my son. So it's like, all right, son, like, I'm going to write one. And we going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Next day I pick him up, I'm like, shit, well, what you feel like if I made Trap Man a teenager?
Okay.
And he like, yeah, I
can
mess with
the backstory to Trap Man.
Like, oh. The back, this Trap Man Jr. So what I did was,
so
I wrote
the story and revamped it.
No, yeah. So what I did was I basically made it like in the beginning of the. I could say this because I'm trying to shoot the pilot anyway. In the beginning, I'm still Trap Man, right? Yeah, I'm walking my son to school as I do on a daily.
Mm-hmm.
Some niggas pull up in a van, they hop out, they start knocking. I'm shooting back. I'm trying to cover my son. To my son knowledge, it looked like I get shot. I'm laying there. They throw a bag over his head, throw him in the van, drive off, throw him some out in this random neighborhood. In this random neighborhood, my son feel like he just seen his dad die.
Right.
Oh, so he think it's all tripping. Over with.
Yeah, but I didn't die.
He tripping.
The story take place a year later. In this year, remember I told you when I went off to the Army, I left him with two of my friends. When people think I'm dead, my son is basically raised by these same people. My son is a gamer. He come home from school one day. It's a package on the floor. Now, this package is jiggling. It's doing whatever. He like, what the fuck? He picked the package up, throw it on his bed. Bro, playing the game. You know what I'm saying? Bzzz, package going off. He's going crazy. He like, the fuck? Package going off. Boom, 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 boom. Package going off. He like, all right, boom. He stopped the game. Open up the package. It looks like a device that you could touch.
What's
bam.
Device?
He touched the device, a hologram of me pop up.
Of course.
Boom.
Hey, son, I'm not dead. He going crazy. He think his daddy dead. You know, they got me in this
room. Why didn't FaceTime me, dad? Like, this is crazy.
They got me here. I need you to go to professor. Now, the professor is my friend, which is his teacher, which the professor now knows that I'm not dead. But my son never knew. Basically, on some Superman, Batman shit. He never knew my identity. He never knew I was Trap Man.
Okay, he never knew at
the wee hours of the night, I'm going to different trap houses and different hoods, shutting shit down for the kids. He don't know none of this. Now, as it has evolved, now I got khaki suits that's bulletproof. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I got all that. You know, we got everything. So
this is hopping out on the enemy with a motherfucking bulletproof black red whipping the bullets.
No, I got the tan khaki suit. So look, I tell my son, I only got 5 seconds left. Go meet up with the professor. Right?
This message will self-destruct.
Bam. So my son going crazy. He go right over to the professor house. He knocking on the door. Professor let him in. He like, I was expecting you. Now, to my son's eye, all the time he went over to the professor house, it looks like a regular house.
I'm not to cut you off. You're giving us a lot.
That's good. No.
Say that.
This what you was going to see. You was going to see this anyway.
Yeah, you giving us a lot.
Yeah, no, you was going to see this anyway.
Give us a lot, man.
No, yeah. No, no, I'm not.
We got over 300,000 downloads. 400,000 downloads.
You was going to see this anyway. Look, no.
You tripping.
Now, this already set in stone, bro. Okay, nothing cool. They can do. This set in stone already. I told you already up there. I already wrote the episode. This done deal.
Easy call. Yeah. I was nervous.
Nah, you didn't have to. I wouldn't have did none of that. So he go in. He talking to the professor. Professor like, you know your dad's alive. Wooty woo took him. The person who was, now I could say this because I'm still trying to make it right. The person who was supposed
to
play
that. I don't care to cut you off.
Okay.
I want you to do this shit, so I want you to, let's focus on that. Nigga, because you're giving me a lot right now. You're giving them a lot.
I'm seeing it.
Well, hopefully somebody was listening that's interested.
What you mean? I'm over here thinking about who I know that might be interested.
Right.
Maybe they ain't watching this channel yet.
Well.
You ain't watching
it. There it is. But the Kickstarter for that is what's coming.
Thank you. I love to hear that, though.
Let's focus on that,
and another thing I would say about you is that I've never known you to be financially ambitious.
What you mean?
I've never known for you to be like money driven. You know,
no,
like,
it's not.
I gotta get the money.
Yeah, I'm not. But when people ask, "What do I need?" I can only tell the truth.
Well, that's because what the truth is right now.
Yeah, because when I wrote
the first episode of this one, Trap Man Jr., and I sent it to my boy who shot the first one, and he broke it down. It was $87,000 that I needed to shoot the episode. The people that I was talking to at the time that said, "We got you," when I took that back, they like, "We can't do 87 bands." Then they said, "Okay, can you do a teaser trailer for 10 bands?" I went and we wrote the whole concept just to make the trailer for the
just
10
bands. Just for the $10,000 budget.
Yeah, just for niggas to say,
"We don't got $10,000.
No, not, they didn't even say that. They didn't say nothing.
They need to be better than this.
You know why? Because they couldn't fucking believe that you double back with. You know, some people cannot produce a product.
I can every time.
Every time.
And that's the reason why you're on the show. I'm not trying to cut nothing.
No, I know. I know, bro.
But
I know.
You know what I'm saying? It's getting, you know what I mean?
We was long winded up.
Bro, low key, the that's a big reason for you to come on the show, man. Giving you your flowers.
Appreciate
you. Because, bro, you've been doing a lot of shit.
Thank you, my brother.
And this was the big purpose.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that.
Coming on
the
Open Bar Podcast, champion.
Yeah, having y'all, man.
Tell everybody where to find you at.
Find me on Instagram.
Right here, this is right here. This is right here.
At Thuggin. I know when people be hearing that name, excuse me. That soda. They be like, "Why is your Instagram name still Thuggin?"
That's never the Tino's parking water, man.
Yeah, it's Thuggin. And they know why. Thuggin. Tough Crowd Entertainment on the Instagram too.
YouTube. Tell them where to find our YouTube fucking features.
What's our YouTube? Tough Crowd Entertainment is our YouTube.
Is there
YouTube? It's the same. That's our YouTube. It's Tough Crowd Entertainment. All of them. I'll be forgetting that stuff, man. You know I got it. Yeah. And you know it is. Yeah, but you can find me on my gram. I will say that.
Did you give him some tequila?
Nah, she did. I will say, when I get a chance to, I promise y'all, if you're watching this, I promise you, I'm going to give you that feeling that you used to get when you watch the things that you loved. I'm going to revive that for you. Trapman Jr. It's called Trapman Jr. Villanagos in the Fade with the Dead Homies. That's the name of it. So whenever you see that, because you go see it. That's what I'm on. When people ask me, "Holla, what you on?" I promise my son something, and that's what I'm on. That's what you'll see from me next.
Yeah. Boom. So we lit, man. Yeah. We got to get I don't even know what else to say, bro. You was giving us a bar of everything.
I ain't gonna lie.
We got to get some more
camera batteries or something. I don't fucking know.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to be
talking. No, you good, bro. That's what we're here for.
I think a lot of people don't know.
I ain't the nigga that's going to sit there. You ain't got to ask too much. I'm just
How many podcasts have you done?
I did a few.
Yeah.
Welcome to Open Bar Podcast,
my guy. I like, man. This was a thing.
Let's get a shot, man, real quick.
Let's get our little closing.
You're supposed to make that one like the... Oh, that's the big... Hold on. That's the big homie.
Exactly. Hey, for more... success.
Yes.
You doing your what is it? GoFundMe?
Kickstarter.
Yeah, let's follow up with that and make it make sense. Send it to me, I'll post it, whatever. For sure. Let me know, bro. Hey. And thank you for pulling up, man.
For sure, bro.
Congratulations. Anytime. Everything so coming. Yeah. Everything yours.
Conversation never on the block.